Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Justin Kaczmarski, founder and president of NAV Valuation and Advisory, LLC. NAV provides valuation expertise, including forensic evaluations of prospective case outcomes. NAV specializes in complex commercial claims, particularly tech and healthcare claims involving IP, trade secrets, or cybersecurity breaches. Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, John. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss case screening, which is an emerging area of the funding space. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate you being here. So first, let's start by breaking down the specific services that NAV offers. So can you explain what your firm brings to the table in terms of case valuation and how you provide value pretrial?
Absolutely. Well, first off, thanks, John, for the opportunity to discuss the case screening process in litigation finance. I think if really bucket it into three ways of valuation forensic CPA experts as myself can assist in a case screening pretrial. These three main areas I've defined as a report review, a theory review, and a damages math review, which might involve both a math check and a preliminary independent valuation from market data to compute a damages assessment. All three, the report review, the theory review, and the damages review, take about 10 to 15 hours of total review time or a day and a half of work. My team and I usually budget these for about $4,000 to $6,000 in fees, let's say $5,000 on average, $4,000 to $6,000 of total fees over the 10 to 15 hours. My value proposition in litigation finance is how I've reviewed over 2,000 valuations and damage valuation reports over my 22-plus year career. My review number is high. Since before starting NAV in 2015, I led a national group at a leading advisory firm for 10 years, doing roughly 2 to 250 valuation reviews, not standalone reports, but reviews across the practices nationwide. So I have a good familiarity on how to efficiently review damages valuations and business valuations. So going through the first area of a case screening, the report review. As the name implies, I'm looking at the expert review from a damages assessment to make sure the expert report is not only well documented, but most importantly, to see where the methodology is going, how succinct it is, whether the support is there, and what the conclusions are based upon the facts. It is a second opinion of the case analysis to make sure that there's nothing egregious saying in regards to the theory, in regards to how they derive certain key inputs such as a discount rate or projections. So the report review is usually 3 to 4 hours of a second review of the expert report. That ties into the theory review. I want to make sure, because damages valuation and business valuation are subjective fields rooted in market data, I want to make sure that the expert is not going in a very aggressive stance from a business valuation and damages theory standpoint. So I'm looking at review as a second part of my case screening. And the third area of a case screening is what I call the math review / independent valuation check. I am looking at the math in the expert reports across their projections, across their market share analysis and their discount rate and their analysis of a business, if it's a business damages case, to look at not only the math check, but also to do some preliminary market data to make sure the damages conclusion put forth by the plaintiff, which often can be eight figures or even nine figures in high-profile litigation cases, is reflected in the math check as well as market data. That preliminary analysis of both the math check and an independent valuation is designed to not only poke holes in the plaintiff's analysis, but to have a constructive dialogue with the litigation funder and plaintiff's counsel to say, this is what I like about their analysis. This is where it might be possibly aggressive. This is where the math check really needs to be improved. It's by giving a second set of eyes on the damages conclusion, which is where a valuation and damages expert can provide a lot of value add.
The natural question here, I think, is that the plaintiff's law firm already values the claim, right? So can you explain why a litigation funder might need their own independent valuation expert?
It's a good question. I think the way I explain it is there's really three key areas why an independent reviewer, particularly one that has a valuation damages accounting background, such as myself, can provide a value add, even when there obviously is a plaintiff expert. The first area is a sanity check. I believe it takes another expert to review expert conclusions. A lot of times, experts, one of the key areas that all attorneys know is sometimes certain experts can work multiple times with certain law firms. I'm not saying that impairs their ability to be impartial, but having a sanity check by a neutral party can really provide some color and some support for whether an expert is pushing the envelope. And I think in these cases, particularly that litigation funding is non-recourse, there is no collateral. Inputs and valuation minutia can be a big part of the case. So having a sanity check from another expert that is in the field just provides a neutral opinion on the case from the expert damages standpoint. And that's digging deep into the expert. One of the areas where that sanity check involves is looking into the expert's writings. And that's a qualitative part of a review. But looking into what the expert has put forth and whether that those conclusions are reasonable or not. And that ties into the second area where I believe a litigation funder can benefit from an outside review, and that's a documentation check. Experts, whether they're credentialed in valuation or damages or not, and regardless of their pedigree, experience, or education levels, have to adhere to best practices. What do I mean by best practices? Valuation and damages professional organizations recommend anywhere from 35 to 40 procedural elements that must be documented to adhere to best practices. I have found as a litigation consultant, as a litigation witness across several areas, that attorneys are often surprised at that number and how high it is in terms of what proper documentation must be. If I'm attacking another expert in a case where I'm not reviewing it, I will look to see that that expert has provided documentation to adhere to best practices. If they haven't, it's a way to attack the expert having not done the proper job off the bat that can be a death by a thousand cuts of weakening the report's opinion through lack of documentation, regardless of how well written the report may appear to be. I'll give you another example. A lot of times in tort damages, labor economists do what I call kicking the can down the road to a report where it's 10 to 15 pages and they're basically putting forth very high level conclusions without a lot of support, looking to win the case on trial. From my standpoint, both as an expert and as a reviewing expert in a case screening, I'm looking to attack that expert for lack of documentation, trying to use professional standards, whether they're part of an organization or not, whether they're peer-reviewed or not part of these organizations, to say that that expert, regardless of the number, did not adhere to professional standards and best practices and documentation. So the sanity check, the documentation check are really the way another expert can independently help funders and say, listen, regardless of the number, regardless of the number's range, there needs to be proper market data sanity check and documentation check because this type of attack, both qualitative and quantitative, could happen down the road, and no attorneys want to be surprised to learn that their expert, regardless of his or her pedigree, did not have sufficient documentation, and that could be a major weakness down the road.
When I think of case valuation, I think when most people think of case valuation, they assume that this is a quantitative exercise, right? But there's actually a qualitative component here. Can you elaborate more on that aspect of it?
Yes, great question. I think we've talked about the quantitative analysis such as math check and reading reports and trying to give rebuttable reports to the investment committee. But my job, first and foremost, in these 10 to 15-hour reviews for funders large and small is to protect the investment committee, whether it's a small group or a larger formal entity. The quantitative review is critical, but the qualitative is advantage can be advantageous too. What do I mean by the qualitative? Well, looking at what the expert on both sides have written, their articles, their research. For IP cases and patent cases, understanding market share. How can one claim damages on a market that might be weak or non-existent? So the industry analysis, these are all areas a valuation expert does in an appraisal report. Just like a real estate appraisal by a real estate appraiser, we'll look at the comps and the neighborhood. The same thing applies in a business valuation or commercial damages claim. Understand the color of the industry, the local economy. For patents, it's market share. Industry expertise is helpful. I encourage all plaintiff counsel, attorneys, and funders to really dive deep into the industry record of their experts because an industry attack is a non-functional way that
experts can be blown up, for lack of a better word, if they don't have the proper experience valuing a certain industry, whether it be a manufacturing entity or a healthcare concern. These cases are technical. What you don't want to do is have a plaintiff expert go against another expert that has both the functional expertise and a better industry record. It could be another way the defendant can attack the plaintiff's expert.
Can you walk us through a preliminary case review for your independent evaluation? Tell us, how many hours does this process represent on average? What are you looking for in your independent critique of the plaintiff's damages valuation, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Having reviewed thousands of reports in a prior firm, as well as doing tens of these reviews for attorneys and funders, large and small, I'm very confident in that 10 to 15 hour review. Sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more, but say a competitive rate. This is normally a 4 to 6,000 in total fees across 10 to 15 hours review. I like to bucket that into four components. The first is 3 to 4 hours to read and review both expert reports, a couple hours on each. That's anywhere from 4 to 5 hours. The second part is really preparing questions for a call or discussion memo for the plaintiff and the plaintiff's funders or potential funders to understand the strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats for both expert reports. Having read both of those, it's now time to prepare that memo or talking points for a call and communicate that. So between the review reports for 3 to 4 hours, preparing a oral presentation on a call or a live meeting, a couple hours, and communicating an hour or so, that's about 10 hours. The math check is sometimes worked into there. That's sometimes 2 to 4 hours. If it's a larger case, we can push those math check hours down. But that's usually the 10 to 15 hours can be broken up into report review, communicating the results, math check, and maybe presenting results on a call.
You mentioned the 10 plus years experience prior even to starting NAV. You also have some real-world M&A experience, right? So how does that inform your valuation services?
Now, I think it's a good question. I think a lot of the advisory firms, one of the worst-kept secrets is the bigger firms, they have professionals that only do M&A advisory or only do valuation advisory or only do litigation advisory, when the reality is a case can involve many disciplines. My background in 22 years is split between transactional valuations and M&A as a banker, as well as in the past 15 years, a lot of damages, testimony, consulting, particularly on healthcare and tech cases, as well as in the past few years, litigation screening, and always a lot of review over those years. I think, it's almost like a real estate broker. A real estate broker is a market participant. And if you were to go to sell a house or sell a company, you would have a transactional professional. You wouldn't go to a real estate appraiser to sell your property or to sell a business. I think there's a blend of both the academic nature of valuation advisory services as well as with real-world transactional expertise. A good attack on experts are ones that have that sort of, I hate to say it, that very pure ivory tower mentality where they haven't done any type of due diligence from an accounting standpoint, or M&A deals, whether it's consulting or as a banker. It's just a way, particularly in certain industries where transactional records are fast-moving, such as tech and healthcare tech, where you can look at the expert and say, if they haven't actually participated in the deal, how can they really opine conclusively on the valuation? Because a lot of damages claims are before and after valuation. And if valuation is buttressed by M&A, attacking it or critiquing the expert based upon a transactional record is one way to really see who understands the space. I'm not saying a transactional record is tantamount in every case, but it's just another way to have a balanced expert. I think the key in accounting, valuation, and finance for damages is to have an expert that can look at, to the best of his or her ability, all aspects of the case and be able to bring in other experts, particularly in patents like engineering, that's a non-financial discipline. The ability to know what you don't know is how an independent reviewer can help counsel critique an expert who may be overreaching. And that's really another way an independent review can be beneficial. Separate who is overreaching and stepping outside their area.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I'm sure we have a lot of folks in the audience who are nodding their head as they hear that. Final question here. How do you foresee, looking ahead here, how do you foresee some of the more complex litigation, IP litigation, trade secrets, cyber law, how do you foresee that driving the need for independent reviews for both valuation and accounting and other disciplines as well?
I think the more complex the cases, and as funding is getting more prevalent, it's the same dilemma that's going on in private equity right now, particularly what's going on in the markets as we speak here in mid-March. If there's a lot of dry powder, it becomes imperative to not waste that dry powder on cases that don't have all the elements. So I think as the cases get more technical and there's more money following these cases, the better cases will be pursued heavily. And a lot of times, the more we know, being industry participants, John, that 50% of the litigation funding universe is already in complex cases such as patent and IP. I foresee that percentage will either stay at 50% or maybe get higher over time, let's say 60%. As the cases involve more complexity from a technical standpoint, there's a need for both valuation and damages review, but other areas as well. Actuarial analysis has always been a hallmark of mass tort cases. More actual analysis will be helpful in those complex damages cases that involve, let's say, drugs or multi-state class actions. Engineering, I can't emphasize enough. I'm not an engineer. Engineering should be a supplemental review in a lot of patent cases. Also, industry experts in certain areas that can opine on market share. I look at market share in key industries I know in my valuations, but I have to rely on market research analyst reports to understand how a patent might impact, let's say, the semiconductor area. Getting market analysts, another area outside of valuation, forensics, and engineering, market analysts are another way to see what was really the market share. What is an authoritative opinion on how much these semiconductors would have had an impact? What was the total addressable market? I can't emphasize enough, because even if there is a potential breach, if the market is lower in reality to what the plaintiff expert is saying, the addressable market, then that can really throw the whole equation off if there was less money to pursue in terms of an addressable market than the plaintiff expert is pushing forward. So I think other areas besides valuation and forensic accounting for an independent review of plaintiff funding cases include engineering, could definitely include more actuarial analysis, and for certain complex patent cases, engineering is complemented with a market research analyst who can address, let's say, how much of potential drugs market share would be by understanding the patients and understanding the caseloads and prescriptions. That is a market research analyst report that is different from, let's say, valuation engineering, another technical area that I see growing a long time. So I think as the cases get more complex, the need for other disciplines only grows. It depends upon the case, but I think more complexity, more the need for other disciplines outside of valuation of commercial cases.
Yeah, and definitely it seems like the landscape is shifting very quickly, so it makes sense to bring in more experts, as many experts as possible, especially from a funder's perspective. Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your expertise and telling us a little bit more about what you do and the benefits you provide. We really appreciate it.
John, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much.
And absolutely. And if you're interested in Justin's work, you can visit him at his website, his company's website. That's www.navvaluation.com. That's NAV as in net asset value, NAV. And thank you all for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time on the Litigation Finance Podcast.